Let's turn now to 2 Peter in your Bibles, the book of 2 Peter. We're going to begin the second chapter of 2 Peter this evening. We'll begin reading at verse 19 of chapter 1. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And thus far in the reading of God's word, let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray that thou wouldst bless these words to our good spiritual understanding. We pray that they may serve as a warning to us to keep us from sin and destruction. We ask, O Lord, that thou wouldst give us wisdom as we open this chapter together this evening. We pray that it may be profitable unto our souls, that we may not draw back, but that we may seriously investigate what thou hast revealed in the scriptures unto us. Undertake now for the preaching of thy word to that end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, this is a very dark chapter in the Word of God. The second chapter of 2 Peter contains no imperatives. There's no commands in this chapter. There's no exhortation. There isn't do this or do that. It is just a description of evildoers. And it's kind of a lengthy chapter, and it seems to kind of go on and on in a way, and I'm not sure exactly how quickly we're going to tackle everything here, but we're going to go through it systematically, but it's going to be a heavy chapter. There might even be a feeling of foreboding as we spend a lot of time in this chapter, but the reason that it's here is that it sets the context for Peter's exhortation to be ready for Christ's return. So remember, the Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? It's going to be a time of darkness. It's going to be a time of, according to our understanding or my understanding, I know there are people that believe that it's going to get brighter and brighter and bigger, but I believe that it's going to be a dark time. It's going to be spiritually a heavy time. And yet it's going to be a time, I think, of great revival. I think this Holy Spirit is going to be very active. in bringing souls to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that darkness is going to look as though evil is prevailing over it. But like John says in John 1, the darkness is not going to overwhelm it. It's not going to comprehend it. The light is going to prevail. And I believe that it's going to prevail by the very return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a bright, dazzling time. It's going to be very noisy with lots of trumpets and the Lord descending from the sky. So it's important, beloved, for us just to strengthen ourselves and to say we need to understand what this chapter says, even though it's not entirely pleasant or not entirely something that we expect or maybe want to really dwell upon for a long time. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, anyone who does not follow a system of Bible reading which takes one through the whole Bible is certain never to read a chapter like this. People who only read their so-called favorite chapters and who pick out the sections that they like and which help them would never spend much time on this second epistle of Peter. And that's true. The same goes for Jude. Jude is a parallel book to 2 Peter. We're not sure which one was written first, but they say a lot of very, very similar things. So again, I'd like you to prepare your heart to read through the scriptures as a congregation next year. We'll publish a Bible reading schedule on beginning January 1st. And I think it'll be helpful if we're all reading the same portion of God's Word and encouraging one another as the year progresses. And if some of us fall off, maybe to encourage one another to pick up again. But there are, when you read through the Bible in a year, there are places where you'd rather just skip ahead. There are places where there's just a lot of numbers and names that seem to go on ad infinitum, and still it's God's Word. It's good to stop and ask, why are these things in here? So we want to examine these passages. We're going to look just at the first three verses this evening of 2 Peter chapter 2. So he begins by talking about false leaders. False leaders. He said there have been false prophets in the past. So he's just talked about a more sure word of prophecy. He's talked about the importance of that word because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not of any private interpretation. It is revealed to you. The unclear passages of Scripture are interpreted by the clear passages. And the emphasis, is always on the clear passages. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We saw last Sunday evening. But, he says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So here are the false leaders, the false prophets in the Old Testament. And they were there. You may be thinking of some of them. Maybe you've come across them or heard about some of them. And it's nothing new. We think, how come we have so many false teachers that are leading people astray? But they go way, way back in the history of the church. So ever since Satan set out to deceive Eve and was successful in that, he has wanted to pull people away from the gospel, away from God's truth. He wants you to believe a lie. He wants you to follow him instead of Christ. And he is in battle with the Lord's people. False prophets are found throughout the Old Testament, and there are some identifying marks. False prophets offer false peace. So Jeremiah 6:14 says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And that is one of the great cries of the world. We need peace. We need more peace. But yet, in the heart, there's turmoil and anxiety, and everything is just in a churning mode. There's no real peace, but they talk about it as if talking about it is going to bring that peace. So is there real, genuine peace? That's the important thing. If somebody's offering peace, what are they to do? They're to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first clue. There's no peace apart from Christ. So if they're pointing to political, military solutions, it's very interesting that Canada doesn't have soldiers. They have peacekeepers. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but anyway, we have peacekeepers, not soldiers. That doesn't sound nice. So, but they have even peacekeepers carry guns. That's very interesting. But in any case, where is our peace? Our peace must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here are these false prophets. Micah says that these false prophets are greedy. He says in Micah 3:11, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. So just give me money and I'll make a judgment. I'll render a judgment that's favorable to you if you pay me enough money. So money is, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It causes men to pronounce false judgments. The false prophets have no interest in God. Jeremiah 2 verse 8, the priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walk after things that do not profit. So here they were coming in the name of the Lord, but prophesying by Baal, directing men in the name of the Lord to depart from the Lord. And so they were just no interest in truth. They were interested in promoting themselves. They did not speak God's word. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So they'll go by the prevailing wind. And Paul says that one of the marks of a Christian, one of the marks of a true church, is that they're not swept away by every wind of doctrine. They're not moved by every new idea that comes up. Jeremiah says that these false prophets are immoral. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. So here prophets in Jerusalem, among God's people, and they're fornicating, they're lying, they're misrepresenting God. There's great immorality. And as we saw this morning, the priests, the leaders of the Lord's church are to be a good example. And then Jeremiah says, yeah, they were not even sent. God says through Jeremiah, they weren't sent. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So there's a vanity in these false prophets and in their words. There's no blessing for the Lord's people, and the Lord's people are going to walk away from that. They're going to say, I'm wasting my time here. There's nothing here that blesses my soul, that encourages me to study the scriptures or to draw nigh to the Lord. And that's what my soul needs. Peter goes on to say that just as there were false prophets also among the people, there shall be false teachers among you. And again, there are warnings of this throughout the Old Testament, not just in this chapter, we might call this dark chapter of 2 Peter 2, but Paul tells Timothy, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. 1 Timothy 6:3. So it has to be consistent with sound doctrine of God's word. John gives this warning in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And trying the spirits is not really a spiritual exercise where we're kind of doing a mystical test. We have a standard. This is how we test the spirits, whether they speak according to this word. Isaiah says that if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. It's obvious. Just, we have a standard. If they're not following it, just depart from them. John goes on to say in the next verses 2 and 3, hereby know ye that the Spirit, know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. So here's another mark of a false teacher in the New Testament, is that they deny the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been studying that in Sunday school as we've been going through John, and how wonderfully the Lord brings out that glorious doctrine and emphasizes the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful to read and study those things. But John says very plainly in this first epistle of his, if they deny that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is God, they're a false spirit, false prophet. It's as simple as that. So then Peter says that these false prophets of old and the false teachers of the current day bring in damnable heresies. And that word privily there in the text, they do it secretly. So they don't come out and say, we're going to start a new thing, but they do it secretly. They do it unawares, Jude says. They come in and try to entice you to be drawn away from the Lord Jesus. And that's what we always need to be aware of. And again, your best defense of that is knowing God's word and being familiar with who the Lord Jesus Christ is, knowledgeably and experientially, that Christ is the lover of your soul, that he is the one who has given his life for you, and you don't want to depart from him or be led astray from him. But they are going to come in privily, bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And that is another little rabbit trail that we can go on. Did the Lord buy them? Did the Lord redeem their souls and they brought in these damnable heresies? Or what does that mean? And it's a little bit. We don't believe that the Lord purchased the souls of those who are condemned or those who are going to be in hell. But I think we could say that here are the souls of men who say that they were redeemed. That's part of their profession. The Lord has bought us. And there's the subtlety of error. They come in, they look like Christians, they act like Christians in many ways, and they sound largely like Christians. So we need to be on our toes at all time. We need to listen carefully. I think we should receive people who speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we should be very careful in evaluating what they say. And these are heresies. The word heresies is actually, that is the Greek word heresis. It's false teaching or untrue doctrine. So beware of those things that lead astray, that will take away the glory of Christ and the God's work of grace. Furthermore, he says that there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So they are under God's judgment. And according to Peter, it's going to come very, very swiftly. So they are open to God's judgment. And again, I didn't really notice that so much as I was preparing, but Psalm 101 is just a perfect picture of the person we're talking about here. He hates the workers of iniquity. He doesn't want them in his house. And John says that too, is that 2 John, not to have them into your house. And so, because they're going to bring upon themselves swift destruction. And because of them, the truth shall be evil spoken of. At the end of verse 2, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that's what happens with false teachers. We've had a number of them in the history of the Western world, especially in the United States. We think of some of these television evangelists that are caught in acts of immorality. And what does the world say? The world says, this is just what we were waiting for. We knew these guys were liars and cheats. But it's not just that they are maligned then, it's that because of their connection with Christ, because of they purported to set forth the gospel, the world speaks evil of Christ. The world speaks evil of the church at large. The world speaks evil of the true church, because they want every opportunity to do that. And so these men have just given them that opportunity. And so those are false prophets. But think about how that works even in the church. So sad to hear Nathan say to King David after he has been reproved for his sin. And one of the things that fall out from his sin, though David is cleansed, he's been a new heart created within him, but thou hast caused the Gentiles to blaspheme the name of the Lord. So even righteous David brings that upon him. This is just another excuse for the Gentiles, the unbelievers, to blaspheme the name of the Lord. They're going to say, this is the way, not just the way the Israelites, not just the way God's people operate. This is how their king lives. And you think we should follow that? And yet, David wrote Psalm 51, was encouraged in the forgiveness of the Lord and the cleansing of the Lord and power and strength to go on in the Lord and continue to bless his name. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. So because of these men, though, because of the false teachers, that's just a little aside there, but because of the false teachers, the name of God shall be evil spoken of. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. What kind of a religion is Christianity when it produces this kind of thing? And that's why in true churches, these men are they're brought to attention. People are warned of these false teachers. So you have false leaders, but you also have foolish learners. Verse 2, many shall follow their pernicious ways. So they have a gathering, they have a drawing, and Peter is saying, beware of these things, be careful. Because they do develop following, and it's very easy to get caught up in that, because it might sound very interesting. It might sound, here's somebody who's standing up. He's opposing all the wickedness in the world. But look, he's really just drawing attention to himself. So the ways of the Lord are not the ways of the world. The ways of the world are not the ways of the Lord. So the majority is not always right. Moses warns in Exodus 23, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. So sometimes it just seems everybody's going in the right way, and I agree with the direction that they're going, but are they leading me after Christ? Is this going to be a blessing, an encouragement to my soul? And sometimes those people are actually begging for this. Isaiah 30 verse 10. It speaks of those which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. We don't want, we don't want the second chapter of 2 Peter in our Bibles. We would just as soon have it removed. We would just as soon skip over to chapter 3. We speak to us smooth things. speak to us the things that really give us comfort. But, beloved, as your heart desires of all of God's truth and all of its fullness. Remember Eli, when he was bypassed. There was no vision of God in those days. Interesting, there was no vision of God in those days, and Eli's eyesight was very poor. There's a picture there that Samuel is painting. And he bypasses, the Lord of all glory bypasses the priest Eli and goes to this little boy Samuel. And he speaks to him in the middle of the night. And Eli says, this is trouble. And it's trouble for me. What does he say to Samuel? I need to know. Don't hold back anything that the Lord has told you. I know that I need to hear it. I know I'm not going to like to hear it, but I know that I need to hear everything that God told you. And that's the heart of Eli. Whatever we may think about his ministry and his work, he was keen to know the whole counsel of God, everything that God had, even though it was in judgment of him and his sons. So this large following is going to cause many to speak evil of the truth, as we said. So unbelievers gather to unite against Christ and against the truth. And we have, for example, the picture in Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Yet have why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So here they rise up, not exactly a parallel, but the same spirit is there in 2 Peter chapter 2. But here's our encouragement. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody say that the Lord doesn't laugh. He does. Psalm 2, the Lord laughs at the ungodly, at their vain attempts to overthrow his kingdom, their vain attempts to rise up against the God of all might and glory and power, and the Lord just sits and laughs. So that, you're nothing. What do you think you're doing? Who do you think you're taking on? And that's our God. So we're to be on the side of that great God. Let us break their bands asunder, they say. So the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And these followers are going to be used. They will make merchandise of you, Peter says in verse 3. They're going to make merchandise of you with feigned words. And the Greek word there is interesting. It's a plastois, where we get our word plastic from, feigned, fake. Plastic things are usually fake. I know everything today is made from plastic, but it used to be that plastic things were the fake things. And these are plastic words. They're feigned words. But they're lying words. They're meant to draw away, but they're very, very forceful. They're going to make merchandise of you. John Calvin said, Peter endeavors by all means to render the faithful displeased with ungodly teachers, that they might resist them more resolutely and more constantly. It is especially an odious thing that we should be exposed to sail like vile slaves. But he testifies that this is done when anyone seduces us from the redemption of Christ. He calls those feigned words which are artfully formed for the purpose of deceiving. So here is who wants to be used in that way? And we don't notice when we're used in that way, right? This is one of the prevailing analyses of Facebook and social media, is that if you're not paying for the service, you are the service. Isn't that something like that is how it goes? You are the merchandise. They say it's for free, but they're gathering your information. They're putting it aside. They're using it for their own ends. They're sending you advertising. You know, you watch, you look for something on this media, and then on that media comes up an ad for this thing that you were searching over there. It's kind of scary. What's even worse is you just are talking about something and all of a sudden an ad comes up. on your feed somewhere on the internet. It's frightening. And we need to be cautious and aware of that, that we're not made merchandise. But that's in the things of the world. How much worse is it when people are made slaves by a false gospel? And what does that do, beloved? It gives people the hope of heaven and the hope of peace with God without the gospel. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if somebody said, I'm saved because I believe what this man said? Well, what did he say? Those words are nowhere to be found in the scriptures. Nothing about Christ, nothing about sin, nothing about redemption, nothing about God's love, nothing about a faithful covenant-keeping God. Yeah, you're not saved if you believe that. But isn't it a terrible thing when people think they're saved? They have a false hope, a false sense of salvation. And what a great surprise that will be on the great day of the Lord. So to be true to God's word, to present, always be diligent to present a true gospel, a faithful gospel for the salvation of souls. They will make merchandise of you, but their destruction is certain. Their judgment of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It is surely going to come. They may seem to escape judgment, but Peter says, no, it's coming, and it's certain, and it's sure. Martin Luther said, the people who establish these sects and thus deny Christ will have to die with great reluctance. They will have to flounder and despair, for the only way they can think is this. Who knows whether God is gracious to me and wants to forgive my sin? They remain constantly in such despair. Who knows? Who knows? And their conscience never becomes cheerful. The longer they remain in this condition, the more terrifying death will be to them. For death cannot be conquered before sin and the evil conscience are removed. Thus their destruction will come upon them swiftly, and they will have to remain in death eternally. It's a dreadful judgment that comes upon them. They have no liberty of conscience. They have no real freedom, and they have no real salvation. And I've read to you before the words of men like Voltaire, who were just frightened as they approached death. They denied God all their life, and when they came up to death, they were terrified. They didn't know what was going to be on the other side, but they knew it was not good. They knew that. He knew that. And there are others like that. And so here is the warning from Peter. Be diligent to study, to read God's word, to know God's word, so as to be faithfully prepared for the last day, for the time when Christ returns, or for the time when you're going to die to be with the Lord, which can also be a very, very sudden thing. Be ready, beloved, and be on a watch. Don't pick up everything that you hear or follow everything that everyone else is following. We live in a day of great fads, and the thing that is popular today is unpopular 2 or 3 years down the road. But the Word of God never changes, as our brother said earlier in his testimony. God remains faithful, and he will never, ever change. So, beloved, trust in the Lord and be aware of these things as you look around you to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we come before thee this night, and we pray that we may be kept in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we may not be led aside by enticing words of men's wisdom, but that we may be steadfast in the truth of thy word, loving the Savior who first loved us. Bless now thy word to our souls, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close with him.